You were tuned in to Mind Blowing Decisions with DJ Success every Wednesday at facesofsuccessradio.com.
Hey, everybody. Great day, great evening, wherever you are in the world. I hope that all is well with you. You are listening to Mind Blowing Decisions, where we talk about life, love, and relationships. And I'm your host tonight, Nishan L., and we also your co-host.
And you have your co-host, Gigi Watson.
We just want to let you know that we're excited for having you here tonight joining us. I am live right here in where we are, Mark Z. Wisdom. We're in Louisiana at the NAACP State Convention and excited to be able to talk about some empowerment things, bring some concerns about our community to the airwaves. We're talking about growth, financial growth, personal growth, and we're just super, super excited for you all to join us because we know that you could be anywhere else and you chose to join us. So tonight, your host, Nishan L., is going to be advocating personal financial responsibilities in our community. And part of that is we have to learn how to become pillars in our communities. We have to learn our place and what we're capable of and what we need to help our brothers and sisters become empowered. We have to learn how to be that voice, that beacon of light, the door opener. Some people call it the doorman. For those who go to church, you would understand. For those who are awakening and enlightening, you'll also understand that you are a doorman. So we're super excited for having you on the air tonight. I can't wait to have you on the air, hear what you have to say. Truly inspired by the events that we are associated with here, representing several opportunities and community leaders and just, you know, businesses and the network that we build on a day-to-day basis. And we're just excited to be able to bring that stuff to the air. So I want to thank you once again for joining us. You are listening to Mind Blowing Decisions, where we talk about life, love, and relationship. And I am your host tonight, Nishan L. So I want to bring on to you, we have a special guest that's joining us who is networking for several reasons, which is my brother, Minister Goldsmith. And so I'm super excited for bringing him on the air live with us so that we can have this conversation and help our communities and those that are listening, advocating personal financial responsibility in our communities and the importance of that, teaching each one to reach one. And so we have live on air. We're only going to take a few minutes just to pick his mind a little bit and to share in the bliss of the things that we're able and capable of doing. So I want to bring in Minister Goldsmith. Are you there? Are you there?
No,
yes,
Gigi here.
Go ahead, Gigi.
I just want to say, hey, Nishan, how you doing?
I'm well, and yourself?
Still a little sad. The person up at the car right there had my cat taken away.
Well, we want to start the show off. I know you're a little sad about the situation with the cat, but we want to keep the airwaves lit and live. And we want to make sure that we are doing what we're supposed to do, and that means that we coming live with some great news, breaking news when it comes down to the different things that we're doing. So what we're talking about tonight, Gigi, is we're advocating personal financial responsibilities in our communities and what our role is at teaching each one of us how to grow financially and not just grow but learn the things that we've been challenged with. So, Minister Goldsmith, are you there? Are you live, sir?
I'm here.
Awesome, awesome. Welcome. You're live on the air, Minister. And tonight we're talking about again, advocating personal financial responsibilities in our community. And we will not shun you, Gigi, not one bit. We just want to keep this call, this show
yes,
really lit and engaging.
I understand.
And we will, and we definitely will be praying for you and the healing of your heart in the absence of your kitty cat. Well, I understand how important those, how important animals are to us and what they mean to us in different times in our lives. So we truly appreciate the sensitivity of the situation. But Minister Goldsmith, we have you live on the air, and so we wanted to talk about advocating personal financial responsibilities in our communities and what that means to us and how we have to position ourselves to be able to help others to win financially by gaining control, finding out knowledge that has been in plain sight yet not quite understood. Can you share with us a little bit about what advocating personal financial responsibility in our community means?
Personal finances is basically taking charge of everything that deals with your money. In my travels, I think that a lot of people, they take their credit for granted. If you're not walking around with a credit score of 750 and above, you're missing out on a whole lot. And whenever you buy something, you either overcharge or you don't even get it at all. So we've got to get people to begin to take time to focus on what is needed in order for them to be better suited to get the things that they need.
Absolutely. And Minister Goldsmith, if I may ask, we want to once again thank you for those who don't know who you're listening to right here on Mind Blowing Decisions, where we talk about life, love, and relationship. Tonight we're talking about advocating personal financial responsibility in our community and what that means to our community as we learn and we grow and we share knowledge, information. We want to share with you that we are talking to a national business, national. y'all have a hard time saying this sometimes because it's a tongue twister because it's so much. But my dear brother, Minister Goldsmith, is a national business, minister of business. And what that entails, him to be qualified to share with you, our listeners, and to share abroad, those who will catch this and, you know, in byways or just somebody else tagging somebody else on here, you are listening to the National Minister of Business, my brother, Minister Goldsmith, and he is a minister not just for the gospel, but he is a minister to help you to be able to find personal financial freedom. And so understanding our credit scores and how it works and how it hinders us and how it can grow us is a very intricate task in our future development. So, Minister Goldsmith, again, you were talking about people don't understand the importance of credit. Can you share with us the hindrances that that most people understand when they don't have decent credit and what that credit score should look like and, you know, and how we can benefit from doing better?
Okay. Well, as you were talking, I think I would like to say that one of the things that we want people to realize is that we do a lot of things to get people to be more conscious of their finances. And unfortunately, even though I hear you talking about personal finances, I don't really know if people can appreciate the impact that it has. Take, for instance, we was talking to someone and I shared with them that the IRS released a publication back in 2005 and said that if you're getting a tax refund check back at the end of the year, it's because of the fact that you paid too much into your taxes. They recommended that if you were to download software from the IRS, they would show you how to correct your W-4, minimize the amount of money that's being taken out of your taxes, out of your check, so that it would be on your check. Now, can you imagine just how many people would be able to benefit by working, and when they get that check, that money would be on the check instead of taken away and held to the end of the year to see if you can figure out a way to get some of it back? So those are the kind of things that we want to get people to focus on, and that's just one of them.
Wow. So, so Minister Goldsmith, you have an individual training concept, and in that individual training concept, which is a 40-plus-year-old business, almost 50 years of age, we would just like to know a little bit more information on how that plays into the mindset while we're talking about financial growth and independence and just total financial freedom and the responsibilities that comes along with it. Can you share with us, especially with our listeners, what IBTC stands for and how would it benefit those who are listening that will participate?
Okay, IDTC stands for Individual Development Training Concepts, and it was birthed based upon the need for people to recognize that they had their own individual needs when it comes to developing themselves, their concepts, and their projects. And one of the things that we recognized 48 years ago, to be exact, is that people need to be able to focus on their personal problems, their specific issues. A lot of times we take classes and they're so generic, and it's set up so that everybody is taking the same class, but everybody don't have the same needs. What we want to be able to do is to help people understand and identify that we're willing to work with them to get them to a better place if they communicate with us. So one of the things that we do, we individualize everything, and we sit down and we talk to them so that they can feel confident in knowing that we're not focused on something that's going to help somebody else. We're focusing on those things that will help the individual.
Wow. Well, we thank you so much for your dedication and your hard work at, you know, but purposing, your purpose pursuing, and helping other people to tap into a power and a strength that otherwise probably would not be available to for the masses. The tailored individual training, which I've had a benefit to be a part of, development training concept, is more than just a minister of the ministry, but it deals with people holistically. Can you share with us a little bit about how holistically we approach people and their finances?
Okay, one of the things we do an individual assessment, and the individual assessment, again, is the focus on the individual needs. And take, for instance, if people don't take the time to recognize that they are an individual, it's kind of like fingerprints. In order for me to help you, if you say you need a ride to work, and you say, will you come and pick me up? And I say, yeah, and you hang up the phone. Well, I don't know where you're at. So that means even though I want to come and pick you up, if you don't tell me specifically where you're at, I can ride around and ride around and ride around and not know how to come and pick you up because you didn't tell me that. Individual development training is for you to specifically identify what it is that you need, what it is that you want, and then we focus on meeting you right there and creating a path to help you get there. I'm not going to do a whole lot of complicated talk to make anyone think there's more than that. It's just that we take the time to focus specifically on what it is that you want, and I personally don't think it can get no simpler than that. We talk to you about you to help you do you.
Wow. Holistically, putting people in a better place, holistically shifting their mindset to understand that as an individual, it is our responsibility to know how to financially make sound decisions, and that is part of knowing where your credit score is. Will you agree?
Absolutely. So anyone that's interested, they can call in if they got specific questions. We'll address those to give you an opportunity to see just how individual development training concept works.
Well, we truly appreciate you stopping by. And if you can give them your social media information or they can connect with you.
Okay, social media, Facebook is Minister Wazir Goldsmith. And a direct number that they can call to get an individual assessment is 404-247-0447. It's 404-247-0447. And
you
can
guys,
you text that
to the minister, National Minister of Business. And listen, when I tell you that my life has not been the same since being a part of IDTC, you know, he gave you his number. You definitely should reach out and call Minister Wazir Goldsmith at 404-247-0447 and find him also on social media, Facebook as well, LinkedIn as well. And if you need more information, it will be publicized on the website, Faces of Success Radio 101 FM. Listen, I'm super excited because tonight we have the privilege of being a part of such a historical moment, such a historical time, and being able to be in position to help people to win financially and to grow our communities and make it more safer by understanding knowledge and power and understanding wisdom and principles, financial principles, I believe is, the highway that we need to be on, that we need to be embarking on. So I truly thank you, Minister Goldsmith, for dropping in and sharing with us, you know, all that you're sharing with us, and grateful to be a part of IDTC, but grateful to be here at NAACP National State Convention. I believe it's the 77th year, and this is, just an amazing that we could be a part of it right here in Louisiana. So super excited for being able to travel, and thank you so much for joining me. And if you find somebody out there that want to go live, come on, call them up, put them on the phone, and share with them that we are live tonight right here on Mind Blowing Decisions, where we talk about life, love, and relationship. I'm your host tonight, Mishawn L. Super excited. Mr. Goldsmith, if there's something on your mind that you want to share with the people?
I'm going to go ahead and enjoy the show. One of the things that you shared with me that you do have a live audience, and I think individual development training concepts is about the individual. So if there's someone that's out there listening that has a specific question that they want to present, we will be available to entertain that question, and we'll direct them to an answer to the best of our ability, if that will help.
We truly appreciate you. I know you're working down there on the field, so we're going to let you get back to it. And thank you so much for joining us. But, you know, that's what life is. You know, sometimes you're on the spot, sometimes you're in the spotlight, sometimes you're just playing ready, and sometimes you just got to get ready, right? So we appreciate your willingness to always be available. Yeah, take sacrifice, and we appreciate you and your dedication to helping individuals meet the goals that they need and to fine-tune some of those questions that they have within about their financial literacy, their knowledge of credit, and how it can help and hurt us if we don't take authority over the various things and how we pay our bills and how we even open up certain accounts and things of that nature. So as we're advocating tonight, Minister, we appreciate you again. If you gotta leave us, then we appreciate you now. So we just want the world to know we appreciate you. We're advocating personal financial responsibilities in our community. I believe that what NAACP is doing tonight is not just talking to us about financial growth and empowerment or anything like that, or how to change a credit. It's about how our children, how our brothers and sisters and are, being killed out here in the streets, how we can change some of the laws, what laws to look for, how things are getting out of hand because we don't understand law. And so even though we're talking about personal financial responsibilities in our community, I believe that that comes into the home, which means that some of the issues that we're having because both parents either have to work or one parent is only in the home. And so, therefore, the children are kind of raising themselves. And without the elders in the home to teach the youth, they grow up in this state that most folk call millennials, who kind of just have access to some things but really don't know the intertwining and the makeup of those different things that can help and hinder us. And so they get these credit cards through college and things of that nature, and then they're excited about having these credit cards, but they don't know the responsibility of how these credit cards really work and what they should be used for. So we are going to open up the lines, and we're going to ask you all to go ahead, and if you have any questions and concerns, or you have a comment that you want to add to this, if there's a question about how to clean up your credit or how to learn how to begin to shift your income, we want you to go ahead and call in at 323-642-1569 and push option 1 to be live on the air. Share your comment. Again, that number is 323-642-1569. So again, You are listening to Mind Blowing Decisions, where we talk about life, love, and relationship. And listen, guys, I'm excited about the people that I'm in front of. And so I bring these people in front of you week by week. And as these shows are being booked, we are bringing in the best of the best in their field. And so I've partnered up with some amazing people, and I thought it was worthy enough to have a show. So I hope you enjoy it. I hope you call in. I hope that you're having a great night. It's a wonderful Thursday night, and I'm just so proud of the growth in my community as I go and in my travels, and I meet different people in different cities. You know, Chicago, my hometown, Greenville, South Carolina, my home now, and also shared home with Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and just Reno, Nevada, where we are home to. I'm just excited for the many listeners, for the many opportunities that are circulating around me, because I know now that there is hope, not just for myself, my family, and my neighborhood and my community, but also for yours as well. So we're super excited to bring some of those things to you. And if there's any questions, we open up the phone lines again. That number is 323-642-1569. And you're listening to Mind Blowing Decisions, where I'm your host, Nishan L. and Gigi Watson for the night. And Minister Goldsmith, again, we appreciate you stopping by and sharing with us a little bit about individual development training concepts and the holisticness of repairing and rebuilding an individual to a place where they no longer are bound by the heavy weight of not having enough finance. Because what we teach in this is if you have a dream, if you have a business, if you have a concept that's worthy and needs some attention, needs the fine-tuning, then we are here, you know, as personal financial advocates to help you, to assist in either finding a money-making opportunity, legitimate, also giving you knowledge that's not necessarily taught in school, but also to our counterparts in the world who have financial understanding, credit worthiness, and financial backing, you know, to some of the things that, we've been hindered from. I want to share with you this time that we have hope, and it's on the other side of this call. So it's just a real simple process. If you want more information, reach out. Y'all know how we are here always to help and assist you and aid you in the things of life and love and relationships. So we had some very interesting information last week, where we talked to a doctor who was a cardiovascular doctor, and we talked about health and wellness. We talked about how fear can hold you spiritually back from receiving that which you were promised at your birth, which is freedom, financial freedom, emotional freedom. You know, the stress that comes on of not having enough can put people in a state of sadness, can put them in a state of weariness, and, you know, it can break up some homes. So financial literacy is one thing. But having tools that show people that you can become your own boss, you can become an entrepreneur, you can become your own home-based business, you know, and get the tax credits and write-offs, as Minister Goldsmith was talking about, empower your spouses to work from home so that they can be at home with those that matter the most. I am an advocate for parents being there present for the children. And being there with their children means that they need to make adequate finances in order to raise their children in home, whether they homeschool or whether they go to brick and mortar. We know that education is important, but more than education, we need to comprehend our status when it comes down to whether we have a 400 credit score or we have a 500, whichever hundreds you are in. I was very fortunate tonight to meet at least four people at one particular table of color who had an 800 credit score. So I'm gleaming from here to there because I'm excited. And not only do they have that, they are helping other people, empowering them by doing various different various different tasks to be able to help other folks to build their credit up. And we have some amazing, again, I'm going to talk about these tools because these tools are helping us to be able to reach the masses where it comes down to financial strategies. So we have a cash flow manager tool that we have access to, and we want to share with you. But in order to share with you, you got to become a member. So we offer a membership to gain the knowledge, to get access to the back office, to information, to help you to be able to, one, learn how credit works. I think it's important that we understand how credit works, what they're grading us on, and how to take authority on our spending habits. Those who are in finances, usually young in finances, unless they have a complete focus or their dedication, they are just looking to make money so that they can pay down now the credit cards that they got in high school, college, and they still don't understand the value of having good credit. And if life changes, if their job changes, their business change or any financial situation happens, hardships or things like that, how to be able to bounce back. I ask a question. My question is this. If you lost everything today, how would you rebuild? It's a really good question. I was faced with it myself several times where kind of lost everything, that, you know, the hold of the power of what I was working on and building. And in building that, not only did my income shift in the negative, but also some of the resources that I could go to get the information kind of went away from me. So I share with you all that, listen, if you're building a business, if you're building a practice, if you're building anything that requires your time, energy, and money, you need to count the cost, and you need to add in that cost also the pitfalls that can happen in building a business, being an entrepreneur, and you have to know your bottom line numbers. What is it going to cost? You need to know your cost factor. You need to know your you need to know your positive, which are your for some reason, I can't think of the word I really want to say, your prophet. And so in sharing this knowledge and information about being able to be profitable in your business or whatever it is that you're doing, if it means that you got to go get some partners to invest in and help you to assist where you need to go, if you need to challenge things on your credit and what to challenge on your credit, all these things play various roles in your building your business or building just financial wealth. You have to know that you got to ask yourself those tough questions. If I lose it all, where do I go? Do life stop? Is my concept healthy enough to still sustain itself when the finances are not coming through? There's a time where, you know, your business may not, you know, grow. A season that is at a standstill instead of halt, and everything that you're making is going towards just keeping the lights on your business, whether that's an internet business, web business, you know, whichever way you want to call it. I do a lot of home-based business. I'm a mobile business. I love it. It gives me the time freedom that I need to be with the people I need to be with, and I can travel up and down the road because I position myself to a place where those things that I do the most, I've invested in, and it actually gives me a return. So we have several business opportunities that we definitely can share with you all, which is one, you know, the travel. The business of travel is an $8 trillion business. And if you travel, then you should earn commission on that. We talk about that quite a bit here on the air because I believe that if you are jumping from city to city, state to state, and you're traveling in and out of hotels and you find yourself renting cars, then why not become a travel business owner? You know, is most people are afraid, like, own a travel business, oh, my God, don't they cost thousands and thousands of dollars? Well, I mean, it could, and there has been times where, you know, if you did the average business, it will cost you a couple thousand dollars that you may not have access to. But here we have affordable home-based businesses and opportunities where we can assist you to increase cash flow, which I think is something healthy for everyone. I don't know anyone that's not looking for a side hustle, extra money, or another extra streams of income. So, you know, some folk out here gambling and taking risks. You know, I choose to take the risk personally on myself because I'm not going to let myself down. So I hope and encourage you all that's listening to follow your path, follow your dreams, follow your hopes, and get some help. Find a mentor. If you don't know which way to go and you don't know how to, you know, put that next foot in front of the other and you need just a little help, you need just a little push, I bid you to reach out again to either myself, Michonne L. You know, you all can find me on Facebook at Michonne E.L., or you can find me on my business page, Michonne Thornton, on Facebook. Also, you can find me on LinkedIn. I have several opportunities that I would love to share with you all and bring you into so that we can also not just have money coming in, but we learn how to invest the money that we have coming in by shifting our income, by getting tools that help allow us to have more control on, if you have, like I said, multiple businesses, multiple opportunities, multiple streams of income coming in, at least a minimum of 100 different businesses, you know, where you can put in one tool and see where your money is going and coming from, where you're spending it. We're advocating personal financial responsibilities in our community, and we are representing one of the companies that I'm representing here today. Here is MyEcon. MyEcon has a cash flow manager and strategy that allows us to gain access to video tool softwares that will educate our minds like out of this world. And not only just educate us, but empower us to shift our income, change our W-4s so the money that we are working for those taxes that's coming out of our check. We're not just lending it over to the IRS, and we are, you know, without any benefits, but we're advocating this particular tool because we're watching it work. We're living it. We're living proof of it. So we're representing the personal financial growth and development of our now population of community services, investors, and affordable lifestyles. Like, the travel is a lifestyle, and it actually helps you to earn income through, again, reservations, bookings, and, you know, there's so many different things that you can do. You become vendor partners with all the major brands like Walt Disney World, and you can, the Marriott, and earn commission on those places and visit the world instead of just being stuck in one place. Like, this really important to me that in this latter part of my life, after the children are grown and it's just me and the hubby, where do we go? What do we do? How do we gain control over our finances, where everything we know that we're making is going in a good direction and is putting us in a better financial state? Building our portfolio is important, as well as it is important not just for my family, but I believe it's important to your family as well. So we want to bring you rescue kind of information tonight on the air because, listen, I'm growing, and now it's my desire to see that you grow and to hear those phone calls. And I believe that we had a couple conversations when I came back live on air for the summer break that we will be talking about these things. And some of the people that I've mentored over the last year or two actually came on the air, our first show, and gave me the accolades of how they've been benefiting for the different things that I've been teaching and sharing with across the world. So I'm pretty excited about bringing in new partners, making you all partners, not just making you partners and bringing in partners, but empowering you with information that can change your life so you could be, again, with those that matter the most to you. It was really important for me to have my husband alongside with me every day. Not just, I don't know if you guys know, but, you know, my husband, his profession keeps him, and, you know, moving a lot. And so we didn't get a chance to be together like most married couples every day. We would have to, you know, schedule time 3 months out, 6 months out to see each other because of the type of profession he was in. And so because of those issues, I had to figure out, again, after losing everything, what do I do? How do I share this knowledge, this faith, this financial growth? Not just the financial growth, guys. This is not just about the finances, but it's really about the knowledge and being able to put it in its proper perspective, right? So I want to ask the question. Gigi, you're live on the air, so do you have any questions at this moment? I'm just
yes,
talking.
I'd like to ask. yes, I'd like to ask you a question. How did you get yourself back together?
Good question, Gigi. Thank you so much for asking. Well, some of the things that I did was I put myself in. I sought out information that could change where I was. Without the knowledge, I would not be able to. I know most people would be like, without God, but without the knowledge and the information that I've been able to be blessed to come into and taking the time to spend time with myself and finding new mentors that can show me, open up their notebooks and show me how to make money. In various ways, if you learn the principle of how to make money or the science to make money, you can use that principle in whatever business opportunity that you think you might want to develop. So what I did was I got mentorship myself again, and I went into these classes. Some of the classes cost $35. Some of them were free. Some of them cost hundreds of dollars. Some of them made me travel. But regardless of what it was, I invested in myself, right? And investing in myself and then put myself in a situation where I can gain knowledge from people who were successful helped me to be able to figure out the formula that I needed for myself. And so with me I have a travel business agency as a travel agent. So I have two businesses in one. Then I have a financial success, a finance empowerment company that I'm a part of, that we teach people how to shift their income by raising their credit score, eliminating debt, and reducing the tax liabilities that they have. And then just showing people how to open up their own personal businesses. I learned how to do it on a federal, city, local, and state level, which gives me access to more information to help me to be able to help anyone in any stage of their business. So I just found some things that I was passionate about. One, I was passionate about traveling, so I got into the book, The Business of Travel, Gigi. And then from the travel industry, I got into how to build credit-worthy businesses where we can now help other people get 750 credit scores or higher, and that way we can all collaborate together and earn certain things together. And never doing business by myself was a major key to our success. Just masterminding and brainstorming continuously with people who was winning in a business that was showing me that you can go to this entity, small business administrative for women, minority-owned businesses, being connected with other business owners who was, whether they was in a trucking industry or whether they was in the tax industry or whether they was in, because I do taxes. I worked at an eye clinic. I know how to do healthy eyes, contacts, you know, just taking all the various things that I've learned in life and utilizing them for my own personal good is how I actually started winning. I never thought one time that I had all the answers to any one thing. I just kept searching and seeking truth. How do I come out of this financial hole? If I lose my husband, who was financially caring for me and providing for me, what do I do? How do I win in my life? And so I had to take a real hard look at myself, and I had to make some real good choices. And some of those choices is, I don't know this, but I'm ready to learn it. And so being ready to learn different things, new things, and not making any excuses about how much money I had and how much money I didn't have was one of the things that helped me to guide me into finding these different business opportunities where I can work from home. I can work on my mobile phone no matter where I am, if I'm in Costa Rica, if I'm in the Bahamas, if I'm in Louisiana, if I'm in Reno, if I'm in Houston. No matter where I am, I'm able to take all of my businesses on the road and be able to do them in real time with real people. And because I have a spirit to help people, everything that I learn, I do turn it into a business-making opportunity. But more than that, I share the information with people that I know that cannot afford it. And so I make it so that it's unreachable. It's reachable, and it's not unreachable. It's realistic, and yet at the same time, even though it requires the time and dedication for each skill, knowledge, and trade that I learn, that I teach, I offer these things, again, at an affordable price so that as an individual come in, if they have the true desire, I'm able to give them a scholarship, and I'm able to either waive a fee, and I'm able to bring them in and teach them the different things that I have. And with much thought and with much, effort on the other party's part by wanting to learn something new, I'm able to give it to them at a very reasonable reasonable price. And so, because you gotta invest in yourself. I think that's the very number one key in anything is investing in yourself. How do you do that? Some people, you know, they like to watch TV all the time. I turn the TV off. I don't remember the last time I actually watched TV, maybe 5, 10, 6 years ago, since I sat down and watched a real good show. I know I used to be into Empire all the time, and I think maybe they've had 2 or 3 seasons that I've kind of missed. And, you know, because that was a sacrifice that I needed to make in order to get where I am. And so
I was watching the Tuesday. I don't know if that was a new season or not.
I think it is a new season because it did pop up on my feed that a new season was coming up. But I missed it.
Okay.
You know, and I love Empire. So you have to fill me in on this a little bit.
Yep, I love it. I caught half of it right there because I didn't know what was coming on.
Girl, it popped up on my news feed. And, you know, and I wanted to watch it. But, again, I'm not in a situation where I have the luxury of sitting down waiting on a government check. I don't have the luxury of sitting down waiting on somebody to just take care of me. It was a time and situation, and, Gigi, you know this to be personal.
I know
it. A time and situation where, you know, my family kind of got scattered abroad, and we was all in separate places and trying to figure out, you know, we thought we had a plan, a financial plan together, but it got interrupted multiple times. And so we had to keep going back to the drawing board and try to figure this thing out. How do we, one, how do I get my husband to come home off the road, right? How do I be with him on a regular basis every day? And I say this because you know the real truth, you know. And I say this because I know that there's somebody else out there that's going through something similar, if not the same thing. Their spouse, I just heard a testimony tonight about a young woman who was going through some issues that she didn't tell anybody about. She went through it silently by herself, and her husband went through some not just financial trouble, but he got into some trouble because he wasn't able to be in compliance with some things because he had some faulty equipment. And it wasn't his fault, but he wound up in trouble for it. And so we go through these kind of things, right? You know, I know that some people get hurt on their job. They get hurt on their job, and they can go and apply for workers' comp. They can leave their job or they get fired, and they wind up.
Can I cut into that about workers' comp? Okay,
oh, yeah,
my hub, he had got hurt on the job. And I think that's when President George W. Bush right there came in and stopped people getting working comp. And he couldn't get a working comp. And they was wrong
See,
for that.
This is the things that when you can't get government assistance, even if you paid into it. Now, I know for a fact that your husband has worked hard. And I know for a fact that he should have gotten what was his. He paid into it. It was no reason why, you know, that they should have refused him. But, again, this is some of the red tape that we have to deal with that we don't understand when we go to other people's job and work for them. Now, those same skills that your husband have, some of the same skills that anybody have out here, to be a matter of fact, can actually be turned into a personal business, go into business for yourself when you cannot – you know, work for somebody else, or when people are downplaying you or they're trying to just jip you and steal from you, because that's just what it was. They robbed him without a gun. They took all that he worked into, paid into, and it just don't make sense. So we show people how to gain control of them. We show people how to take control of those things, how to do those appeals. You know, in a timely fashion, making sure that every T is crossed, every I is dotted, you know, so that you come out on top. I've seen a lot of people who worked a lot of jobs where they got hurt on these jobs and they weren't able to get their workers' comp, or they get fired and unable to get their unemployment. It just don't make sense to me. And so I want to help our community. I want to help our community, so I bid you to call 323-642-1569 and push option 1 to be live on the air. Just share your comments, your thoughts, or even a story that you have been affected by and that you may need some serious help with or some guidance. Don't think for one second that you're out here alone. Don't think for one second that you're by yourself and that it's the end of the road. There is a way out. There is hope. We are advocating personal financial responsibilities in our community tonight. That's what the show is about right here on Mind Blowing Decisions, where we talk about life, love, and relationship. I want to do, I want to take a brief moment, and I want to, I want you to know that before we take this quick break, I want you all to boss up. I want you to think about what it takes for you in your life to change the status that you're in. I want you to think about what that looks like. How does it feel? How much? What's your perfect day look like? How much money is in your account? How your people are taken care of? And dream big. Don't dream small. It's a lot of different things that we could do in this world, but we're so afraid to do anything because nobody ever told us that we can. So as we move further into the evening, and I'm going to make sure that I get back down here to the NAACP, you know, and be able to come hopefully in another angle of financial freedom, financial responsibilities. And I want to ask you, Gigi, before we take this break, what was the outcome of your husband not being able to get his workers' comp, and what was the reason why they shared, they told him that he couldn't get it?
Hogan, you have to ask him that question.
Okay,
hold
no
on.
Problem.
And answer the question.
She's going to ask.
Question.
Is it Michonne?
We're live on. We're live on the air. I'm good.
Yeah.
We're live on the air. I just want you to know that.
Okay. What you want to know?
So my question is, what was the situation with them denying you the unemployment?
Hmm?
Why didn't give you your worker comp?
Oh, my work was comp.
Oh, your work is comp. I apologize.
They stating that I didn't report it in time. I went home, so therefore they don't know if I could have done something at home to injure myself. But at the same time, they said, well, we could pay to train you. But so far as paying you for your injury, you went home, so therefore we don't know what happened between you and when you left the job.
And so this is a common thing that you see, that you have seen, Ernest?
Mm-hmm. It's sad.
That,
it's sad. And the lady, Bethany, that the work was comp thing, she told me, she said, man, you used to before Bush Sr. signed that thing with workman's comp because he was playing games with some people. President Bush, Daddy Bush, she said, you could file for workman's comp a year and 6 months. I said, what? She said, yeah. She showed it. She said, they really should give you your money. She was the investment over at the workman's comp office. And I went to, two or three hearings. And then they talking about, well, we're not denying it didn't happen, but it was a part that you went home. I said, I didn't know what was wrong with me when I went home. I thought I had stronger muscle or something, and I went and got some muscle stuff and rubbed on me. And then the next day, I couldn't hardly walk. I went to the emergency, and that's when they did the x-ray and the CAT scan on me, and that's when they called me in the back and asked me where I work at. I said, what's the matter? She said, can I show you what's going on with you? She said, you got your spinal cord is messed up. Cervical disc, 1, 2, 3, and 4. I'm saying, what? She said, yeah, that's why your arm is falling asleep. And you have a lot of nerve damage as well on your left side. I said,
So the injuries that you sustained was not enough evidence for them to give you your workers' comp, even though you were hurt on their premises, because they have a clause in there saying that you went home and you didn't go straight over to the emergency room or report whatever the issue that you were having. So the protocol is what, okay. So with the protocol, you didn't report it in a timely fashion. Can you share with our listeners what time frame did they give you for reporting?
Let's see if I can remember. I think it was. I had got this little over on 1919. This attorney owner hit this. What was that woman? She was this guy had turned me on to her. She's supposed to be some help you with your case for working this public stuff, which was a damn lie. I think she set me up because after 90 days, she comes telling me, well, Mr. Dobbs, I think they're going to deny you from your, I don't know what's going on. I think they're going to deny. I'm saying, well, why are you just not telling me this? Why are you not got in contact with people? You lying, telling me you're doing this and doing that shit. Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Dobbs. And then they telling me, I goes down to work, they telling me, well, it wasn't filed in a fashion that it was supposed to be filed in at that time. So the time has ran out.
So let me ask you one more question. If you can go back in time or change a situation where someone else is not getting going through what you would, what would be your advice to them?
Well, the lady, her name was, Priscilla. She was a black lady. She was the incarnate that got me hooked up on that job. They was telling me, well, if you can find her, go back to Dixie Stafford. If you can find her, back at Dixie Stafford. Because I had told her about it. Well, she don't work there anymore, but if you can get in contact with her, we can do something. I said, well, I don't know where she's at. She does not work at Dixie Stafford anymore. She said, well, if you can find her, we can work this case.
So you needed an advocate to help you to be able to get all your documents filled out with the company.
Right, that I was when I came back, I had called her up and told her about it because she was the one that got us hooked up on that job. And I called her and told her about it. And she said, oh my God, then you go see the doctor. And it was Dixie Staffing Agency. And she was working there. And when I got back from the doctor to get all my things, by that time, she left. They probably just fired her because what she was doing. She was getting a lot of black people on jobs. She was looking out for her people. She was a black lady. Her name was Priscilla. No, Penelope.
Okay,
Penelope.
So
that's
I have
her name, Penelope.
Got another question for you. And the reason I'm asking you these questions is because I want our listeners to know if you could have done anything different, what would that have been? And with the knowledge that you have today versus when it first started going down, where you were being challenged for something you were paying into already.
If I had known that, if I had known what was wrong with me from the beginning, because I didn't, because two or three days before I went to the hospital because I couldn't hardly walk, and when I had went to the emergency, permanent emergency, that's when they found it and told me what was wrong, what was going on. And I told them, they asked me, what you been living? I said, I was sitting with a two-ton crane. And I heard something pop in my neck. I thought it was just a pulled muscle. And my arm started going to sleep, feeling like I've been sleeping on it. He said, that's not the problem.
So how are you doing today?
Huh?
How are you doing today?
Still messed up. Still messed up.
And the case has been closed and determined.
Exactly.
And did you receive your workers comp at all?
No.
So they determined that you was unworthy. So they determined that you was unworthy to receive money that you was already paying into something you weren't even sure of in the first place. But your money was going out of your check every pay week, right?
Yeah.
And so they denied you because you did not report before you left off of the premises. That you felt like you had injured yourself.
Yeah, that was when we went to court. That's what they had some attorney and all of those stuff. He's talking about, well, we don't know if that happened with you. I said, I don't have no two-ton crane at my house. But we don't know if you lived something at home or what you did. But then we're not denying it probably didn't happen, but you didn't let us know at a time and fashion that a workman's comp law states that you're supposed to let us know at such and such a time in a normal fashion. If you don't, you will not receive workman's comp compensation.
So you was that part of your safety? Did they bring that up as part of your safety when you first applied for that job, even though it was a temp service?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All
that's
right.
What they did to.
So in a state of your being injured, your job being at jeopardy, you decided to clock out, go home, and try to rest and pamper yourself because you didn't know that the injuries were as severe as they were.
Yes.
And after finding that you're in. And after finding that the medical professionals finding that you are in a worse state than you had believed, still came back down to the determining factor being that even though you paid your money every week as you worked into unemployment and into workers' comp, you was not granted either.
Exactly. Yeah, it was a big mess. I got a whole bunch of people.
What about your medical bills?
They disability paid for that, Social Security. They pulled all my medical records up. Everything. They dug in everything. They sent me, I got two big old packages up there right now. They pulled everything up. It was just the part they figured that I went home and I didn't let them know the time and flashing of what was wrong. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I'm not no doctor. I said it got to the point I couldn't hardly walk. That's when I went to the emergency. That's when I found out what was going on with me. That's when I said, well, it happened there, because that's when if my neck had popped, that's when my hand started going to sleep, my arm.
Wow.
I couldn't get it.
Sounds like a really painful. So what's the injuries that you had? You suffered from?
Spinal cord, cervical disc, 1, 2, 3, and 4. So they cut my neck open. The front took the bone out the back of my neck and put a plate and screws in it. Sewed it back up.
You are declared disabled, unable to work.
Yeah, I'm totally disabled. I got a morphine pump. They cut my side. Morphine pump. I got fibers in my spinal cord. I take medicine every day. So it's, I walk with a pain and a back brace.
And I know that it possibly could not even be helping. Just knowing other people who suffer with other types of injuries or either, anytime surgery is involved, what they call post-surgery, challenges and quality of life. Do you feel like you feel like you have the type of quality of life that you desire to live?
No, it's destroyed my life. Yep, started. I never back the same. Never can't do this. Can't lift up nothing over 10 pounds. If I lift up something over that, I start gagging. I start breathing, which I tried to pull that mess at the other apartment, and they had to call them to cut off my breathing. They told me not supposed to lift up anything over 10 pounds and stuff. That's why you stop breathing.
Wow, to hear that you had to take those kind of. That route that you had to suffer like that and not be compensated. I think that with the type of injuries that you have sustained and the scarring as you described it, and I know that you're being, personally, I know that you are just giving just a tidbit of what you experienced. And I do truly believe that the word scarring, how it scarred your life is adequate enough, even though it does not justify what you experience on a day-to-day level. I know that music is a passion of yours and a love of yours. And how has that affected you and your musical career?
I can't play like I used to. I mean, I have to, you know, I have to sit certain way. The doctor told me to get another guitar, a lighter guitar, because they don't want me. If the thing put it on my shoulder, it's going to pull on my neck. So what I do, I sit up and put the guitar in my lap and play.
Wow. Listen, guys, the reason that I got into becoming an entrepreneur and taking control of my life is because of situations like this. You guys listen to Arnaz, and Arnaz have worked hard all his life. Not a person to sit on his butt and wait for anybody to do anything for him. I know him personally. So I know when I'm speaking that I'm speaking truth.
Work. And I cried. And I told the judge, I said, Nate, they shook their head. I said, I could have been like them thugs out there, robbing. I said, I have nothing of that crap on my record. I ain't never getting none of that stuff. As long as I was working, buying my own school clothes and stuff. And so, you know, it's sad.
Listen. It's truly sad, and it's just really, it's unforgivable that the system is designed, no matter how much you pay into it, how much you work hard, is designed to take away from you and pull from you and leave you scarred, where, as Arnaz said, not having a decent quality of life, the one especially that he desires. So the reason that we're talking about this and we brought Arnaz on air is just so that you'll know that when we're advocating personal financial responsibilities in our community, this is part of that responsibility. It's sharing with you the horror stories that go on while you're working on these jobs. And if you took the time now today to empower yourself with information, knowledge that can change your dynamics by taking some of the skills that you learned while you was working for other people and actually taking those things and opening up an operation, a business, some consulting that you can do and make your money so you can live the kind of lifestyle still want to live.
Yeah, you need to start all that. I cried a many days. Did you tell you that? I cried like a baby. I was so hurt. I sit there in that courtroom. The judge put his head down because he knew it was wrong. He knew it was wrong. He shook his head. He knew it was wrong.
I think
I have never took nothing from nobody. I never robbed nobody. I never stole nothing from nobody. I worked about my own school clothes. I worked about my own car. I said, man, this don't make no sense. I could have been like them thugs out there selling dope and all this stuff. I ain't got none of that crap on my record. And then y'all do this to me? He just put his head down, shook his head.
Truly scarred, Arnaz. I truly appreciate you coming on the air and sharing with us your story and just enlightening the listeners. You know, I'm telling y'all, I keep saying this, I did not learn the things that I learned for myself. Even though I learned them for me, I learned them so that I could share with other people. You don't have to stay in the same state you find yourself in. You can change the dynamics. There's something you can do. If you're a music teacher and you can teach music, teach music. If there's, you know, so that you're not financially strapped, you're not sitting here depleted, you're not sitting here feeling like, you know, your life is over with, feeling hopeless. There are things still locked up inside of you that you yet to share with the world. And I'm quite sure that if God has graced you to live another day and you are fine and satisfied with where you are, but if there's something on the inside of you pulling you, saying you got so much more to give out to other people, I believe you need to put yourself in position so that you can get that place to that place where you're being a benefit to other folks, because this story is just not one of a kind, but it is a broad, it's everywhere. Whether it's unemployment or whether it's workers' comp, you work for these companies, and these companies don't think 2 seconds about you. And if you don't do it the way that they say it, do it, or in the time frame that they say do it, they will make sure that you don't get any benefits. And so if you could have changed anything outside of knowing that you was as injured as you were, if there was anything that you could have.
I told them I got hurt on no jobs, and I've been working all my life. I said, if I had known that, like I told that judge in court, if I had known that, I would have went right then and there.
So it was something that was not being spoke about on a regular basis. It was something that no one else had told you they had experience with, so you didn't know the route to take originally when you first got hurt, which is typical.
People did it, but I know nothing about it.
You didn't understand the process. I recall the very first time that I got hurt on one of my jobs. I was working at Target years ago, and some boxes fell on my head. I was on one of the, what do you call those, waves? One of the, what's the thing's called? A forklift that that goes up and down. And I was doing, I was getting some boxes. Say it again. Yeah, the forklift. I was on the forklift, and I was in the logistics area. Boxes fell on me. And because I knew I needed a paycheck, I just kept working.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, damn, I got hurt. I don't even know what to do. Who do I talk to?
They used to call me Mr. Muscle. I was big, I had muscles, so I used to lift weights and stuff. I said, well, that ain't nothing. I'm going to give me some big gear or something or some muscle warmer, taking a hot shower, and I'll be all right. That's what I'm thinking. That was my theory.
Right.
So it was just, you know, I said, I'm a man. I can take these little bumps and stumps, you know. I didn't know it was
you put your thing up there?
Yeah. I've been fighting all my life. All in high school, junior high school, I said, I can take some bumps and bumps. And I can heal some.
And that's typically, you know? And that's typically what happens with these insurance companies, with these workers' comp, on these jobs, in any system. If it's not something you designed to be there to help other people, and I understand liability, and I'm not coming against any insurance company, I'm not coming against workers' comp, because they have a process that they teach. But again, for those who are first time getting hurt or injured on jobs, we don't know that. And because we have it hard already, we just keep on working anyway, because we know we need to make that check. We got to pay this rent.
Then you gotta wipe it out, wipe the sweats off, and your bumps and stumps, and go on, keep moving. And that's why I told
you. Right, you know.
Can't be no baby about it. You sit there,
well,
you know.
I totally agree with you.
I started cutting yards about my first guitar. That's how I bought my first guitar at White Store, cutting yards, knocking on people's. Got my mama's lawnmower with a green
Let's talk about that for a second. Let's go back to the moment that you knew that you wanted something, which made you get up off your butt and go to work for yourself. So talk to me a little bit about that process, because tonight we're talking about, again, we're talking about becoming an advocate. We're talking about advocating personal financial responsibility in our communities. You didn't see where you can get, because you was not a drug dealer. You went on the streets slanging. You weren't robbing and stealing. You wasn't robbing and stealing.
I can't steal a bubble gum. I'm not a good liar. I may start laughing. I can't keep no good, you know, face if I'm lying. That's how I am. And that's why I don't do that stuff. It's not for me. So I decided I was went to on Dollar Street right in Houston. I went to in the neighborhood by Boston, and I met this dude up there. He had a little amplifier. He was sitting up in the window. He's playing. I like the way it sounds. I said, "What is that?" He said, "It's a guitar." I said, "That's a guitar." He said, "Yeah." I said, "What's the thing?" He said, "It's an amplifier." I said, "How much that cost?" And we told. I said, "I'm gonna get me one of them." And that's when I told my friend Ronnie. I'm going to go get my mama his lawnmower. I'm going to cut me some yards, and I'm going to get me a guitar. And that's when I started out. And I've been playing with messing some things ever since.
So how long, you know, the hard work that it took you to go and knock on, how hard was it for you to knock on people's doors and say, hey, can I cut your grass?
Some of them say no, thank you. Some of them say yes. And how much you charge, and I tell them, you know, the size of the yard. You know, and I cut their yard and they paid me. And I go to the next one. Knock on their door. You know, and they said, well, he can kind of make some honest money. You know, he see me pushing the lawnmower down the street. I remember that. And I told my daddy, come pick me up. I'm going to get me a guitar. And he took me to white store. It was a black and white guitar. I was black and red. With flowers on it. Yeah. I said, man. And I've been messing with the things ever since. And then my mother, she had bought me a drum set. And I threw it up, playing on it so much. And got mad to her parents and let me go for me. And she went, my stepfather got me another one. So I played on that. Then my grandmother had me going to the drill thing. They thought I could play drums. And they asked me, you know, my grandson played drums. And he had me come to Mr. Wynn got it. Never forget it. Brother Duffett. And they took me down to the base. And drums down there. And they were standing there watching me. They looking at each other like, that boy can't play no drum. She just probably standing there with her grandson. I said, look there. When you hear me, go ahead, do something. He said, oh, you high. And I wound up being the head drum. I had high with two other guys. We were doing, we marched out out there in California, all in Stockton. Drill team. So then I had my friend, he was with me, and I had another friend, Alfredo. He played the big bass. He was doing that marching. For the drill team, and they will forget it. So I, you know, and then after that, then my brother played bass, so I started playing his bass guitar, so I started getting good on that. You know, the singing thing, I used to sing a lot. And my teacher told me, she brought me home. She said, your son is very talented. She told my mother that. She said, this boy's talented. She said, you need to do something with him. And then it would happen saying every weekend, I'd be practicing for the farm too. I practice as much as taxes. And then on the weekend,
okay,
my
we kind of losing you a little bit. If you can stay right directly towards the mic, then we can hear you clearly. You made a statement about somebody told your mother that you were something. What was that?
My teacher brought me home. I was just slang in the classroom. Me home and told my mother that I was very. She said, you need to do something with him. That's what I did. He's very good.
Well, we thank you so much for spending some time with us and sharing with us your stories and the tragedy of how the system have taken you and devalued your heart ethic, your work ethics, and we pray that we can help. But we was able to touch somebody here tonight and share with them the importance of how you started off in the beginning. How you started off in the beginning was you seen something you desired, and then because of you desiring it, you actually turned around and went into business for yourself. You started knocking on doors, and you started asking people, hey, can I cut your grass? And even though you got a couple no's, you had a few that would say, yeah, didn't mind the cost, and those you needed to give the price to that didn't mind the cost, and you actually was able to go forward and the things that you did. Can you tell me just this, and this will probably be the last question of the night, but can you share with us the importance of how you felt versus working for someone versus for you working for something for yourself?
I had tried to start me a janitorial service. I got a big old bumper. Somebody gave it to me and went out of business. And I was starting
talking to the mic so we can hear you now. We don't want to miss the story, so stay into the mic.
Okay. Somebody gave me a bump, you know, stripper and bump phone and stuff with them.
We losing you, our news.
Can you hear me now?
Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Go ahead.
Okay. I had someone gave me a buffer, one of those strippers, industrial strippers, Mm-hmm. And I went around the neighborhood cleaning people's clothes and stuff, and I had got my friends hooked on with me doing it as well. But I refused to go out there and sell dope and break the powers and get killed or go to jail. That was the combination I had, the drive.
The drive, determination. I love it. I love it. Guys, y'all listen to Mind Blowing Decisions where we talk about life, love, and relationship. And tonight we're talking about advocating personal finance in our communities, responsibilities in our communities. So we truly, truly appreciate you, Arnaz. We're going to take a break real quick, and we're going to be right back. We're going to be listening to, Arnaz, you have a great night. We'll hear you. We'll hear from you soon enough, bruh. And you be at ease, and just, you know, thank you again for sharing your story and the importance of having your own business. Because when the system and these jobs fail us and they take from us and steal from us what we put into these particular companies, as we paying in unemployment, as we paying into workers' comp, and we get injured or we get fired and they still deny us, we want to talk about that later in the show. We don't have that much longer on the air, but I want to talk about that and see what the people think, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Oh,
Shannon too. You guys, I just want to thank you for joining me tonight again. You're listening to Mind Blowing Decisions, where we talk about life, love, and relationship. We have been blessed by some amazing people tonight, and so we just wanted to come on and just share some of those things with you. We are actually going to go ahead and sign off for tonight, and we just want to thank you once again. Take charge, take hold of all that you do. Everything that you have learned up to this far, you need to put that into place and help yourself make sense on where you're going in the future. So I'm going to go ahead and sign off tonight. You're listening to your host, Nishan L., on Mind Blowing Decisions, where we do talk about life, love, and relationships. And our topic tonight was about personal finances, advocating personal finances, financial success. And responsibilities in our community. So, again, we're going to go ahead and end the show for tonight. I thank you again for tuning in. It's been a wonderful evening. I'm going to be reporting to you all soon, upcoming more events in the near future. So stay tuned in every week, every Thursday, right here on Mind Blowing Decisions. Well, y'all know we talk about life, love, and relationships. Have a great night.